ESPN special only on Under Cover Tapes.
Hey everybody, welcome to a new UCPN special. I'm your host, Al Mega Wepa. And today I'm joined by our Puerto Rican. Yes, I'm really proud of that. Puerto Rican gamer, streamer. He's all over the place, man. I'm talking about none other than my man out of NYC, Mr. Suave Javi. What's going on, bro?
What's going on, Papito? How's everything?
Everything is fucking slamming, my brother. You know, this is a rated R podcast, so cursing aloud, speak whichever way. Yo, I'm drinking my beer right now. Brands not to be named, because unless you pay me, I'm saying shit. All right? But other than that...
We all know what it is, though.
We absolutely do. With that, folks, the reason for this podcast today is because over the past weekend, New York City had its version of what we may be familiar with as a PAX, let's say. This is New York City Play, all right, by PlayCrafting. This is basically the ultimate gaming event in New York City, and this is, I believe, the second year that they actually do this, or
third year.
There we are. Suave is going to correct me on this. Awesome. This is the third year that Play does this, and Suave was actually there over the course of the weekend, able to check out the show. So with that, we basically want to catch a whole update on the NYC Play experience by PlayCrafting. So Suave, man, let us know. Let's dig in, brother. What was your first impression upon seeing NYC Play?
Well, my first impression was like, oh, wow, I work right around the corner from here. This isn't really, you know, too far off. All right, great. So I have to come out here on the weekend. That's cool. But other than that, though, I went inside. It was a beautiful building. It was located at the Metropolitan Pavilion, located in 18th Street between 6th and 7th Avenue.
Oh, okay. That's a sweet spot, man.
Yeah. It's very, very, like, artistic. Inspire, like, it's a lot of like artist stuff there. I see a lot of like Banksy stuff being put up there here and there. It's a pretty cool area. So I went inside to the building, went to go grab my ticket. I made a purchase online before. Then he walked us in, waved the wands down just to make sure we ain't carrying nothing, you know, dangerous and stuff like that. I mean, I only got a camera,
security like was tight.
It wasn't that tight. I mean, it wasn't like TSA, more or less. Gotcha. It was just like, you know, hey, let me just give you a pat down. All right, go right in.
But so, because obviously with other things that happen in America lately and whatnot, do you feel that at least upon you entering, that security did a fair job of making sure that, you know, you weren't strapped or anything?
I mean, they had the metal detectors, the wands. So, I mean, I guess it could be as good as it could get with the budget that they had, you know?
Gotcha. Okay.
But yes. And then right after I went past security, as soon as I went, you can see the whole wallway. It's Play NYC, Play Crafters. It's got all their logos and everything. Looks so cool. First thing I'm greeted with was a can of Red Bull.
They just handed you one?
Yeah. I was like, oh my God, how did you know I'm addicted to caffeine? This is going to be great.
Perfect. You must have been zooming the whole show after that.
I had four.
Holy shit, dude! I would not have seen the show. I would have been the PR flash out that mother. Wow, yeah, you do. I drink one and my nerves get shot.
Oh yeah, it was definitely a wake up call. But you know, we're there to play the game. So one of the first thing I grabbed, it was a retro game. And I forgot what the name was. I was unable to get the guy's information, but it was something where you was like a tomato. It looked very retro. And the map looked similar to that of a Pac-Man video game, where you can go on the other side and come out the other side. But the whole idea is that you're squishing other things with the tomato, which is what you are. The whole thing is real trippy and stuff like that. Like if it feels like I took an acid tab when I played the game. Like
it's an old school, like a 2D type.
Yes, it was definitely 2D. Like I said, definitely like a Pac-Man game. I got to get the info here. I have it in a bunch of, so I have a stack of business cards there. So
I'm pretty sure, because I know your ass was all over the place on NYC. Because, I mean, listen, bro, your stream is awesome. People need to be checking you out, you know, on your Instagram. I've seen you play some virtual reality games that have scared the shit out of you, which is hysterical to me. All right. So you know, as you work on getting these names out, so you got to see these 2D platform games. What else, you know, did you see that actually stood out to you within this?
Well, one of the things that actually was very impressive was this gentleman that I spoke to by the name of Jonathan Munoz. He was the business development manager over at Genvid Technology Inc. Mm-hmm. So he was kind of explaining to me what they're there for, and they're there to provide a more interactive experience for people who watch streams like on Twitch and YouTube, soon to be Mixer, because he said that they're planning on working with Mixer, but right now their main focus is on between Twitch and YouTube right now. And pretty much what that does for the viewers is to make the stream a little more interactive for the viewer. And what I mean by that is that anybody can just go on their mobile device, go on Twitch. The game is being played by bots.
Okay.
And what you're there to do is to pretty much dictate how the game's going to go out. So it's pretty much it's like a Hunger Games scenario. So it could be a world where people are trying to fight to survive, and you can actually have little points and stuff that you can purchase with the Twitch currency, which I think is like coins or stickers or something like that. Mm-hmm. And you can drop items that can either help or harm the characters, depending on how you want the game to work out. So I thought that was actually really impressive. He actually had the demo up and running. It was broadcasting live on Twitch that day. I was actually trying to find it to see if I can actually show you guys a demo. Unfortunately, I was unable to locate it. But I do have the guy's contact information, and I will be sending that over to you, because I think this guy right here, he's pretty brilliant for that.
Awesome. I mean, that sounds pretty interesting, because I know in my world, it probably would look like Apocalypse, you know, if you know from DC. I'll make sure everybody's really going to be fighting, you know, some Mad Max shit.
Oh, yeah, man. It was definitely Mad Max, Doom, any post-apocalyptic type scenario. It's definitely going down if I ever... when this comes out, because I think he said it was supposed to be coming out sometime in spring of 2020.
Okay. All right. So it's still in development.
Yeah, it's still in development. They're still working on a few different scenarios. So there was one scenario where, like I mentioned before, it was more like a Hunger Game, more survival. And there was one that was a bit more kid-friendly. So it was like it could be like somebody on an adventure, and you can kind of just purchase certain items to help them along their quest and things like that. So still working out the bugs. I thought it was a really cool thing to have. It's something that's definitely new, especially with streaming being like one of the biggest things in the gaming industry. So that's really one way to niche that market.
Gotcha. I mean, did they intentionally create the game so streamers can get involved? I mean, is it intentionally created that way, or is it something that a casual fan could even enjoy?
I think it's something more for the casual fan to enjoy. Whether or not they will have actual streamers to interact along with it, that's, I guess, a question for the near future. They didn't really touch any base on that. They didn't really provide any insight on whether or not any of the actual streamers will be involved with that per se. Because, again, everything is being played by the bots, and it's mainly for the viewers.
Gotcha. So is there a beta where anyone could check it out, or we just got to wait for the full game 2020? Did you get at least that much info? If not, we're going to have Mr. Munoz on, and we're going to have to ask him all this stuff.
Yeah, we're definitely going to reach out to Mr. Munoz and give him a call. But I think it's still in development right now. I think the beta was just out for Play NYC Weekend.
Ah, okay.
So I don't know. Like I said before, I was trying to see if I can find it now just so I can show us an example of what it's like here, but I was unable to locate it. But I thought that was like some real innovative stuff. Another thing that kind of stuck out to me, and I actually end up purchasing this card game. So we have this gentleman here. One second. His name is actually Noel Goosen. He's the owner, designer, and developer of Panda Hawk Games. They're known for creating card games and stuff like that. So he made the first ever mixed martial arts card based game.
MMA card game.
Yeah. Give me one second. I'm about to get that over to you right now.
Get it over, man. Definitely. I want to check this out. This sounds very interesting.
Oh yeah. So
I have Comic Crusaders has friends that are been involved in the MMA industry. So I'm pretty sure that, you know, you're talking this, they most likely love to take a look at this too.
Oh yeah. So here it is right here. It's called Deck Fighters.
Deck Fighters. Ooh, I like the logo. Very nice.
Yeah, the logo is pretty dope. Right. And this is like the starter deck right here. He has expansions on his website. Now, the game was actually pretty cool as he was explaining it to me. And I actually went to play NYC with my fiance, and she was actually the one that was playing the game. And I was just watching her. Yeah.
Is she a rat? Okay. Before you even proceed, is she a gamer?
She is to a certain extent. She's so not.
Is she a suave type of gamer where you're hardcore or a casual? Okay. Let me check it out.
I would say more casual.
Okay. So what was her impression of a card game?
Yeah, so she's actually into card games more than I am, actually. So.
Oh, gotcha. All right. So, Suave, Mrs. Suave is the boss of the card gaming. Awesome. All right.
Yep. Except for when it comes to Yu-Gi-Oh, because I got the heart of the cards right here. So,
you know, all right. I think she's just standing back right now from smacking your head like, how dare you? Awesome.
But the game actually was really fun and it was really easy to learn. There was a couple of other players that joined in on the demo, and as they were playing, they were learning and, you know, they end up getting the hang of the game. But what was really impressive about this is that he managed to start this all by designing it and funding it himself. This was not crowdfunded at all. Everything was all done all by him.
So, that's an entrepreneur, baby.
Yeah, self-funded and self-published.
Awesome, bro. Great job, dude.
Got his contact information for you to reach out to him. I thought it was a really cool dude. He kind of looked like an MMA fighter himself. I don't know, but he had a couple of other guys that were with him, part of the company, and they too looked like they were probably a mixed martial arts past life or something. So.
Basically, don't you dare diss the game because you're going to get yours.
Oh, yeah. You can either get your ass whooped in this car game or in real life, however you want it.
Awesome. All right. So I'm actually interested because at least in the back of the package, it says that the game may take up to 30 minutes. So did you yourself try? Did the missus take up to 30 minutes or did she get knocked out in the game early?
The game actually ran quite a good amount of time. So I would say it was about a good 20 minutes, more or less.
Okay.
25 minutes. Yeah. So, and as soon as you comes out, it has like a rules right here. So it gives you all the little rules on how to play and stuff like that. Really basic, straight to the point. No thick manual that nobody's ever going to read. It's just boom, right here on the card.
Okay, nice, nice. And do you got to use dice or some stuff like that? Or
No, nothing. The only thing that he used outside of this was something that it's not necessarily designed by him. It's just an application that you can download to help keep score of whatever card game you
play. Okay. Gotcha. Yeah, because I'm not much of a card gamer, and I have people trying to get me involved into that culture of a card gaming or D&D gaming. D&D gaming I may want to do because I was able to see up, down, down at PAX East this year.
Wow.
They made it look so much fun. You know what I mean? So me coming from outside of that perspective, you know, I actually got really interested. So I'm looking forward to building a team where we could play, but you know, I need my dungeon master because there's no way in hell I could be one.
Yeah,
you know
what I mean? Yeah, definitely. And like, I have a couple of friends that have played D&D, and them themselves, as much as they enjoyed it, was like it's a lot. It's a lot. Like and more than just strategy, you just really have to just know the characters themselves.
Dude, my comic shop got the latest book releases, you know, for that particular card game. And they're like Bibles. I'm like, you know, somebody wants to teach me how to play this, but it's just impossible, dude. I don't have that much time. I got to build two websites. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Shit. They're going to just give me bailouts all day long.
Oh, my God. And who wants to set time for an ass whooping? Like,
that's what's going to happen. Listen, with my ass, I'll probably last maybe not even 10 minutes. Here goes the troll Puerto Rican. He dead. Done. Next.
That's it. That ass is raw.
Hey, pernil raw. Olvídate. All right. So that card games look really awesome. Now, were there any games that are involved in consoles like a PS4 or Xbox that you got to take a look at?
So there's one game that I've seen again. The first time I've seen it was actually during the I'm having a brain fart right now, but the award show that I went to back in around February, March.
Okay.
So, it's called Shark Attack. Let me see if I can pull it up here real quickly. It's actually a popular indie game that's coming out for the Nintendo Switch. And it's like a four-player multiplayer game, and they have like different modes, like a battle royale per se. Each one of these scuba diver-looking characters have their own special shark ability. Some of them can just come dash across the board and hit all the targets. Some can shoot some sort of missiles or rockets into the background, cause some real explosion. It's really like a really, really, let me just see if I can pull up. It's a real colorful game. Like it's looks really fun.
Awesome. Awesome, man. And where is that going to be available at?
That actually, that is coming out for the Nintendo Switch right now.
Only right now.
And then it would be coming to the other consoles maybe in the future afterwards. Oh, man.
All right, while you looked that up, right? Did you notice that there was a lot more love for the Switch console? Because when I went to PAX East this year, I noticed that there was a lot of love starting to being sent to the Switch. So, you know, I'm very curious if that same model is existing in the NYC Play.
Well, it definitely had their own section where they had a bunch of Nintendo Labo demonstrations.
Wait a minute. You're telling me Nintendo made a nice presence there?
Developers that are developing games specifically for the Nintendo Switch. Like there are some developers that develop games for the Nintendo Labo that they had on display, and they had demos. I think it was like a motorcycle game that was actually kind of cool. Kind of had like very similar. It's like a mixture of Mario Kart 8 and maybe some Need for Speed because it's got like little like speed
stuff like that.
So it looked really cool.
So and it was getting love. Okay, I'm happy.
Yeah, definitely. So they had like a section in the middle. It was like a long table and there was nothing but different Switch demonstrations on one side, and on the other side they had a bunch of VR stuff. So the line was way too long to get onto the VR stuff, so we kind of bypassed that. And not only that, but there's so many people that are wearing that. There's a bunch of sweat being accumulated there. It's not the most.
No, let me tell you right now, you don't really have to worry about that because, at least from my experience, I hope they did that there. But if you in the PAX experience, that anybody that would wear the headset, they kind of give you this plastic thing that you could put over yourself to make sure that area. Mm-hmm. Wasn't really touching your skin, because I get you, man. I mean, I don't sweat too much, but I know people that do, and you know what I mean. I don't want to smell like baloney.
Listen, I don't sweat a lot here, but when I'm on the PlayStation VR, that itself, I can just feel the sweat. Like it gets so hot, I have to constantly wipe the lenses on the inside because it's fogging and it's not clear.
No, that's the Puerto Rican heat in us, bro. That's all that is. You don't know how hot we are. We're too hot to handle, baby.
That's right. But actually, at first, when we first went there to go see if we can try out the VR, they actually didn't have those covers there. So that's why we took a pass on it then. But then we got back later as we were getting ready to walk out, and they looked like they had a few of them that were just replenished that was there. But we were already out the door by then, so we'll probably just find another time to go check that out.
The VR lines is crazy, dude.
Yeah.
Even with the PAXes, it was the same thing. I mean, if you wanted to play VR, I mean, they had wonderful booths and it's a big-ass show, but the lines were just unbelievable, man.
Sheesh. I can imagine. So like, what I'm going to do to kind of just satisfy that lack of VR that I crave right now, I'll probably just, you know, end up spending some time going to a VR world over by Penn Station in New York City. So
wait a minute. Wait.
You know about that, huh?
Listen, I've been out of New York for you know, almost 5 years now. And I, you know, and ever since I've been where I'm at now, I've been blessed with opportunities in New York. But it's only after the fact, which gets me so mad. But with that, all right, you got to tell me all about this. I know this is about NYC Play, but you telling me they have a VR hangout in NYC?
That's what I've heard. So I actually heard this from a friend, and it's called VR World. It's actually near Penn Station, which is right where near I work too as well. So it's just like I don't want to say a theme park, but it's a place that you can just go, like an arcade, but it's just everything there is VR video games. And from what I was told, each time you were to go there, it's like a whole different set of games. So they don't always keep the same games all the time. So that's awesome. Something that they actually. So I actually looked it up. The prices don't really seem that bad. I think it's like $25 or $50 for a few hours. But then if you want to play all day, you can just drop $70 and you can spend as long as you want for the entire day there.
I see. That is a little price. But I get it, though, because these VR headsets, for example, I mean, if you really play, I actually have access to one. And if you play for about an hour, hour and a half, battery's gone.
Oh, yeah. Oh yeah, and I've actually been looking into getting the Oculus Quest, which is like the wireless one.
Oh, dude, that shit is sick. It is so sick. I'm loving it. Right now, I got the Go, you know, but that's basically more low tier than anything. But I definitely want to, you know, pick it up and get something like what you're saying, because I mean that's Major League VR.
That is, and you don't need no type of setup, no wires or anything, and. From what I've seen, for like people who want to create VR content on YouTube or Twitch or anything like that, there is an option for you to record within the Oculus itself, and you can be able to
stop lying.
Yo, I've really? Looked this up. Yep, because I was curious. I was like, listen, I really want to get this. This seems really cool. But as a content creator, am I able to connect? Am I able to create content? Because if there's no wire, so that means there's no HDMIs involved, and I need that because I need that for the Elgato capture card. So I looked into it, and it actually has its own option to record the gameplay there. So you can actually upload it into the computer and do what
Okay, so it won't be live. You'll be able to record
it.
And then
you could live broadcast on
it. Oh, really? Oh, yeah. My God.
Yeah. It's quite incredible.
No, we're going to have to – one day I'm going to have to visit New York City. We're going to have to do on this virtual tour, bro. But this is going to be awesome.
You let me know when that day is.
Oh, we're out there. We're going to do it, bro. So, right. We got to keep moving. So you did your VR joint. What other stuff that was a standout or stuck out to you within this awesome convention that's in New York?
It was just like the overall environment. Now, again, it was really crowded, a lot of long lines. I didn't really get a chance to play a lot of the games that were there because, again, it was just so crowded. So just the overall feeling and feeling everyone's excitement for these new games to coming out, both from the developers and for the potential customers. It was just like just such a great experience. Like it was an environment that I can literally stay the entire day if I could.
See, we know New York is a melting pot of diversity. Period.
Oh yes.
So
oh, yes.
Was that also represented at the show?
Oh, absolutely. I couldn't have seen a more diverse crowd anywhere else. I mean, you're talking about, you know, downtown New York City. Like you can't get any more diverse than that.
And how was the crowd, you know, towards one another? And the environment in general, was everybody popping, having a good time, and you know what I mean?
Yeah, everybody was just happy. Everybody was having a good time. Everybody was patiently waiting on their line to play the next turns. There was no fights, no one pushing, no one saying, hey, you skipped me. None of that. Everybody was just there for one thing and one thing only, and that's for the love of video games.
I love it, man. Just like the comic culture that we're involved in. You know, I've gone to video game cons, and that blew my mind because, again, when I first went to PAX, it blew my mind, literally. You guys don't understand that. I've never seen a show this big. Now, after going to San Diego Comic-Con, I've seen a place that's even bigger than PAX East. So, like, okay. Yeah, it's like this ill competition. Because SDCC, Suave, please, add this shit to your bucket list. Because you got to experience this. Because it's not just comics. They do have games, too.
I know.
You feel me? And toys. San Diego. And San Hollywood.
San Diego's where they do it big. They do it big. For Fleet Week, when that comes around, they do it big. For Comic-Con, they do it big. For even the auto show is like nothing. Like the New York City auto show is nothing in comparison to California.
Listen, I love New York. I'm a New Yorker to the core. You can even hear that shit in my voice because I hear people tell me you got a New York accent. So it's all right. I can say, hold on. You know what I'm saying?
The New Yorican.
Olvídate. But the thing is, the size of these shows is amazing. And you know, they're only getting bigger. And I'm happy to see that NYC Play keeps growing in their third year. And I, you know, seeing your excitement behind it because, you know, how long have you been streaming now, Suave?
I'll say consecutively, I've been doing it since about January.
Okay, so you haven't stopped since Jan, and you've been on and off at least for what, a year or two? Maybe?
A couple of years, yeah.
Okay, great. So I'm happy you're doing this. Was there any games that stuck in your mind that you say, this is the game I want to stream next? Did you see anything like that? Even if you didn't get to play, but just by the visuals.
It was definitely that. Let me see if I can find that now. It was definitely that shark game from the Nintendo Switch. Let me just see if I can find that.
Do you have a Switch?
I do have a Switch, yes.
How easy is it to stream off a Switch? Is it as easy as any other system?
Yeah, pretty much just as easy. All of it is just a few connections of HDMIs to the Elgato versus going straight to the TV monitor and then just gets redirected.
All right, so you're a streamer here, and, you know, we have a lot of people that are obviously involved in different parts of the culture, whether they, you know, read comics, stream games, play games, period. As a streamer, what do you think are the most necessary tools for a streamer to have right now in order just to get started when it comes to basics, since you've been, you know, doing this for a bit?
When it comes to basics, I mean, it's there's no short answer to it. Basically, okay. So because there comes a lot of things. Like, first and foremost, you need the consoles. You know, you need whatever console you're planning on streaming on. You're gonna need that. If you're planning on doing live stream, some consoles have the capability of being able to live stream within that. But if you're planning on using anything like a third party source, like I used an Elgato capture card, so that allows me to live stream on Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, and unfortunately not on the Mac operating system, but on the Windows operating system, you can also put an attachment or some sort of key enable or whatever in the Elgato system that it can actually work with OBS.
Oh, gotcha. Okay, so wait. All right, so, you know, I'm new to the whole streaming culture, right? Uh-huh. And the way that I stream, I use an app called Restream.io, which connects me to, you know, a multitude of streaming platforms without an extra piece of equipment. Mm-hmm. What would you think is the advantage of using an Elgato type system versus just going straight via the web on a Restream.io type app?
Hmm.
Any? Or have you not used Restream to kind of like,
Not necessarily Restream. I've used a service like it, and I'm trying to think whether or not it is Restream or not. Actually, no, it is Restream. I did use Restream, and it allowed me to stream on multiple platforms, YouTube. The only thing I was unable to stream on simultaneously as along with the other platforms was on Facebook, and that's because for Facebook streamers, those who are not a verified gaming partner with Facebook Gaming, they only have the capability of streaming up to 720p. So I like to have quality in my videos. So a lot of my videos are 1080p, 60 frames per second. So because I had that video setting on there, I was unable to use it on Facebook. But if you are a verified partner for Facebook Gaming, you're able to stream at 1080, 60 frames per second.
So, you know that, for example, if you were to attach your Restream.io and to your Mob Crush allows you to connect to Facebook Gaming, and you could kind of circumvent that whole issue by just using the Mob Crush via Restream.io, all right?
Interesting. Yet,
these are shortcuts, guys. These are things that I'm learning and I'm figuring out as I go on the process of creating a Comic Crusader stream. And unfortunately, YouTube took down my channel for no fucking reason.
Wow.
And I can't even get an answer to this day as to the whys, which drives me nuts. Because we did nothing but great streams and doing some movie streaming. We did nothing illegal, if you will. And I just don't get it. But whatever, we're going to rebuild on another channel because YouTube can't stop me. I've had other channels for a couple of years. So it's not like I created a new channel. So I have a new channel building. You know, once I get over to the 100 subscribers, then you'll see that it's going to start feeding again the way that it should. And, you know, show your support. Right now, folks, it's Alexander Perez on YouTube. Get me to that 100 so I could change it to Comic Crusaders, please.
You're already here, folks. Alexander Perez. Yes. Omega.
Wepa, my real name. I threw it out there. The one on my social. God damn it. It's all right, though. Now, what was your overall impression, though, on the New York? When you left that place, how did you feel?
I got to come back next year.
Oh, nice. That's what I want to hear. So you felt that positive vibe and energy, and do you think that they put on a quality show?
Absolutely. I was actually watching some of the live stream on Twitch as I was physically there as they were live streaming.
Oh, nice. So in comparison to your phone and seeing it in person, how was that, man, that experience in itself?
Well, the I would say this. There wasn't really any public Wi-Fi to be used there, so I was going off by a regular LTE connection, and it was a bit spotty because the building itself doesn't have that good a reception. So it was definitely lag, for sure.
Okay. Oh, that sucks.
Yeah.
That's the whole thing that these cons got to learn. Give us some access. You know, I'd be willing to pay $5 more on my ticket if you could provide me with a good internet signal to make sure I'm able to share what you got. Right?
Come on, right? Your goal is to get out there, help us help you.
Exactly. I mean, we get content and you get recognition. I mean, everybody wins. Come on now. So you heard NYC Play. Maybe add something like that, an extra fee for streamers that actually want to showcase your show while they're at the site. I mean, and that doesn't just go for NYC Play. I think every convention. I mean, I'd be willing to pay $5 to have access to a little better internet there. Why not? You know what I mean?
I would agree.
My $5 probably for them sounds like 10-20, so it's business. I get it. All right, so Suave, man, this is awesome, bro. So let's get back to your little streaming. I want people to know something right here.
Okay.
Right now, I know you stream a lot, and you're doing your business. You're handling it. Mm-hmm. What's your streaming game of choice right now?
That is a good question. See, I'm actually working on a video in the background right now as we speak. And I don't want to reveal the name of the game yet because it's a hidden gem. It's a hidden gem. Yeah, and it definitely has helped provide some good content here. So I'm planning on dropping that video by tonight, if not tomorrow, the latest. So
please share with us so we can let everybody know what's popping. Now,
absolutely.
I want to blow your mind, right? Because there's a Kickstarter out there, right?
Uh-huh.
Now, right? You won't believe this, bro. There's a Kickstarter for a Sega Genesis game. Oh, look at Swabi's face. He's like, what in the fuck are you serious? Yes. There's a game called Phantom Gear. And it's basically designed for the Sega Genesis. Yes, a cartridge for the Sega Genesis. Do you hear me here? You guys got to check this out. It is coming soon. It's an old school classic type game, side scroller, 2D, 16-bit like the Genesis.
And it looks like
fire. This game is developed by Bit Rule Games, published by Mega Cat Studios. And yo, look it up, yo. It's going to blow your mind. Here. Phantom Gear for Sega Genesis. And what's crazy also, Suave, you in New York City, bro.
Uh-huh.
And New York City, there's a game shop on, I believe, 6th Avenue, right?
Uh-huh.
And this game shop actually creates games. And I can't find it now because it was from last year that I got this. But they were even, at that point from last year, still developing games for the Sega Dreamcast.
Wow. You want to know something crazy? I never owned the Sega Dreamcast.
Dude, I got two. The American and the Japanese.
Ooh.
I got the Marvel versus Capcom Japanese edition.
That's when it all started.
I got the Spawn Japanese edition game. First person shooter. Spawn game. I would never let that go, so don't even DM me. All
right? I never even knew that existed, bro.
Hold on. I'm going to have to step away from the screen.
Oh, yeah.
I got it right here.
I
got this bad boy. Here we go. Check this out, bro. In Japanese.
Woo! Wow. Wait. Let that camera clear up. Let it clear up.
Do you see it now? It's up to a four-player game. First-person shooter. And look at the language. Dude. This shit is all in Japanese. It's called Spawn in the Demon's Hand for the Dreamcast. And if you look at the logo just right here, bro.
Yeah, there you go.
Fallen Productions, baby. This is an approved game.
I can't see it because it's still a little blurry, but it looks like it's one of the covers to the actual comic. Is that right?
It was a cover at one point, and it definitely, I mean, look at the car, the CD itself, how beautiful, nice, the Spawn green. Yeah, man. I have so many people trying to buy this off of me, but I guess they don't know I'm a Spawn fan. I would never let this, you heard me, never.
Never.
I'm going to do a close-up of my eye here. Never. All right? Never. This is my joint, Capcom. I wish they would bring this over again. And maybe modernize it a bit and clean it up. This is a fun game, man. Kick-ass game. Obviously difficult to understand because it's in Japanese. But all you need to know is that you got to walk around and shoot people. That's all I need to know.
That's same. That's what... Hey, look. Call of Duty. Fortnite,
Call of Duty.
Hell yeah. Apex Legends, all these games. It's all I do is point and shoot.
And here we go with the original right here, baby. Woo. Marvel versus Capcom Dreamcast Japanese Edition.
It's blurry, but I can just see the greatness still. Like, it just, it gleams through the blur.
Do you see this? Man, up to four player, this game is in mint condition.
Mm-mm-mm.
Yeah. That's this is also another game I would not lose, not ever. Listen, I gave all my systems to my daughter, but these games still with me.
Yeah,
no. Mama, I love you all, but you're not taking these.
They will not understand. It's just something as a collector, you just have that own emotional attachment to that.
I'm glad. So you seriously never had a Dreamcast, bro?
Let me tell you how my gaming career started. So when I was a little Suave Senior, right? he started me off with the thick-ass Game Boy.
Nice. Oh, the classic black and white?
Classic one. That was my first ever game console. From there, I went to the NES. And then from the NES, I went to the SNES, which was, to this day, that has my heart. Super Mario World, Super Nintendo, hands down, my number one favorite game of life.
My shit on that was the Killer Instinct.
Oh, my God. That's another classic. A lot of people don't even know about Killer Instinct, man. And then
I will fuck you up.
Oh, my God. You know what? Sadira's my chick, man.
All right. One of these days, we're going to have to do it, bro. We're going to have to do it. Suave Javi versus Al Mega. Battle of the Century.
Killer Instinct. Ultra Combo! Combo breaker.
I love it, bro. That is one of, I love this game. I've actually played the more cleaned up version on the Xbox One that they have. It looks wonderful, but nothing beats the classic.
Of course, nothing beats the classic. As a matter of fact, the Xbox One has the arcade version, I think, built into it.
All three
of them.
I pulled out all those classics, the MK classics, Street Fighter classics. I mean, come on, dude. These were the things that I used to play, you know, feeding quarters to a machine back on 42nd Street. I'm dating myself, yes, folks. I'm that old. I'm not that old, but yeah, I'm in part of that older generation.
Listen, I was around 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, and even right now, I was playing Mortal Kombat Trilogy on the arcade systems. Before that was even on the console. I loved it so much, I ended up getting it on the Super Nintendo and forget about it when I learned the up, up, down, down, left, right, ABA cheat code.
Oh, folks, you heard that? Yeah, you might have to put that on slow in order for you to, you know, handle your business.
Up, up, down, down, left, right, ABA.
Do you think that's where up, up, down, down got their name from?
There was a good chance because, believe it or not, that was actually a default cheat code for a lot of the retro games. Gotcha. I didn't know that. I just thought it was a Mortal Kombat thing.
No, it definitely. Hey, bro, how many? We didn't have as many buttons as you guys have nowadays back then. You know what I'm saying?
now there's triggers and joysticks that you could press in.
Say back then, we just had a directional pad and A, B.
Oh, wait. Here's something else. A fucking wand.
Oh, look at you, bro. This is the Puerto Rican Harry Potter right there. You got that magic wand. That's awesome, bro. Now, going a little bit back to NYC Play, man, right? I see you got that hot t-shirt. How was the paraphernalia there, man? Did they have a lot of cool gear?
You know what? They only just had these t-shirts there. I wish that they had a lot more merchandise there because I feel like this is just
Really?
Shirt. Yeah.
They didn't have vendors like that selling some, you know, game paraphernalia and stuff?
Nah, not really. Uh-huh. They didn't have anything like that. They just had a bunch of demos up. They had, you know, a bunch of the staff that were there that had, like, these, I guess, portable fridge with a bunch of Red Bulls in there. Like I said, I had like four or five of them things. I was over
the place. That's an idea because obviously me where I'm at, based at now, I'm on Rhode Island, you know, Massachusetts border. And, you know, I've got shows here and you have, you know, video game vendors that are selling paraphernalia. Like I had my daughter's a big fan of Sonic and Mario.
I think you mean memorabilia, not paraphernalia. Paraphernalia is an illegal substance.
Memorabilia, yes. You're absolutely right, man. That's what Chong got fucking backed for. So they had a lot of memorabilia, and one of them was actually a Sonic, Mario wearing Sonic's fur.
Ooh.
I had to buy that t-shirt. I mean, but you see, these are the type of things that we get in conventions out here. You have vendors doing some pretty good mixes and matches of old school generation characters with a really cool.
You're absolutely right. In fact, now that we're on that subject, I actually have a t-shirt. It's probably dirty because I wear it all the time. But it was actually a gift from a friend of mine for my birthday. And it was a t-shirt that combined two of my most favorite things.
Uh-oh.
Super Mario World for the Super Nintendo and Pokemon.
Oh, no way.
Yeah. So nice. And instead of, you know, on the cover, you have Super Mario riding on Yoshi with the cape.
Yeah.
Yoshi was a Charmander. And Mario was wearing the Ash Ketchum outfit with the Pokeball in his hand.
Ah, shit. That must look like fire.
Oh, man. I love that shirt.
How about that? How would you feel if they ever mixed up a Mario Pokemon type game? Is this something that was you think would be successful?
Absolutely. I mean, why not? Pokemon is owned by Nintendo. Why not make it? They already do crossovers in Super Smash Bros., right?
Ooh, right. Ooh.
I'm definitely open to that. That would be quite interesting.
That would be interesting, right? Making that the Pokemon world as part of the Mario world in one of those levels.
Yeah, all the wacky little creatures and all the wacky little creatures in Pokemon, and then they come together, and it's just like a world of wacky little creatures and people and plumbers and stuff like that. Yeah.
What if the turtles that Mario has been killing have been Pokemon all the time, and the Pokemon are now seeking their revenge for this murderer? That's how I see it.
I think the Koopas ran out of power and turned to the Pokemon to help revenge them.
You know, it's King Pikachu now.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. So this is awesome, bro. I'm glad that you had such a great experience over at NYC Play and that hopefully we'll be able to get in again next year to take even a further look into that, take a look at the after parties, because NYC Play apparently puts on a hell of a show with a hell of an after party for the community at large that enjoys gaming and pop culture and fandom and geekdom. And I really appreciate that as a whole, that there are so many great things for us to be able to express and share our love for what we love. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And again, it was very exciting. And the moment I bought the ticket, I was just like, yes, it's finally here. It's finally going to happen. I'm going to play NYC. So one way or another, I will be going next year.
No, you're definitely going to be in, because I'm sure that they'll take care of us again. And I'll make sure that you're going to be all wrapped there so you can even get a deeper experience of the NYC Play. And, you know, and hopefully I'll even be there so we could go together and, you know, kick some ass and maybe have that battle of the century.
Yes.
But actually, we're going to do it sooner than that. Let's be real, man, because we got to hook up on Mixer or on Twitch or somewhere or Steam. We're going to have to do it, bro. I got to join the Suave Javi gaming streaming world there. Yeah. Now, with that, I want you to tell all the fans that are listening right now, where can we catch you? On what stream and where?
Right now, you can catch me on YouTube. I upload videos on a weekly basis. I'm actually working on improving that and uploading more content. So I did just drop a video yesterday. I was playing with a buddy of mine on the Division 2, played on the PlayStation 4 console. Yes. I am working on another video right now that I am planning to drop either tonight or tomorrow, the latest. I would not reveal the name because that game is a hidden gem. Oh, my God. Wait till you see this content.
What a tease. You're such a tease, bro. Awesome. This is fantastic. So on the one end, can they find you on YT or Twitch or Mix or wherever? What's popping on PlayStation?
Well, you could find me on Twitch. However, I don't do a lot of live streams, but I am planning on working out a schedule so I can be able to live stream more content, especially for competitive-based games like Apex Legends, Players Unknown, Battlegrounds, Call of Duty Blackout, Battlefield 5. All these Battle Royale games, I feel like it's a good game to live stream.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, and again, a very competitive base, especially now with Apex Legends. Apex Legends is a very popular battle royale game. A lot of the things that, myself as a player, the only thing that I dislike about the game is that it's strictly a squads game, which is not a problem because it teaches you how to coordinate well with other players. But me, I like to run solos every now and then, and it does not provide that option until yesterday.
Oh, so things change.
Yes, but it is out for a limited time. I think it's only for about 2 weeks. I think the 27th is the last day. I guess trying to just testing it out just to see how popular it'll become. I've already seen a lot of major streamers playing it on solo mode. So I can only imagine that it's going to be part of the game permanently in just over a matter of time.
So thus far from what you've seen, do you think that going solo as is better than that team effort?
In a way, again, I like to play with, you know, people and be able to coordinate with them. But every now and then I like to just run solo. There's no other feeling than just running solo, being able to rely on yourself. And not only that, but in my streams, I like to just be myself. I feel like when I'm playing with other players, I have to, you know, be a little more tactical, be a little more strategic, which is not bad. But I like to be silly. I like to provide entertainment with my streams.
I get you.
And I feel like by me being extra competitive, it limits how much entertainment I can provide unless I'm really good. But my aim is not that good.
Oh, no. I suck, too. And basically, I play games to die. So, yeah.
Yeah, basically.
I play games and I'm just dying within 2 seconds. I think I have someone that I need you to be my hitman for. So, random dude, watch out. So, I have him to come for you.
Random dude, Josh.
Yeah, man. I need his ass beat. He's an abuser. He likes to abuse me. He treats me like Vince McMahon, bro. That shit ain't right, bro.
Oh, I caught that stream. He was playing that football game on the...
He fucking murdered me. God damn, bro.
That game was brutal. Insane.
It was fun, though.
It was an insane game.
It's a fun game, and I was trying to keep cheesing him by killing the referee, you know, but... fuck. You know, it backfired on me, but it was fun.
It was like a whole nother take on NFL Blitz.
It is, man. And listen, I mean, if you could get your hands on that game, Mutant Football League, you know, let's do it, bro.
Mutant Football League, that's the game there.
It's fire, it's fun, it's brutal. People kick each other's ass, and obviously you may want to take, you know, buy a plane ticket to kick somebody's ass in real life after that. So, are you Brandon bastard? Hold up. I'm going to be there at 9 o'clock in Utah. All right, man. There you go. Yo, thanks for joining me today, Swive, and just giving us thank you for letting us know about NYC Play. And
of course. Thank you for having me.
No, man. You rock, bro. This is what we do here. This is Comic Cool, Undercover Case, man. Swive, Javi, Almega. And this is repping NYC Play. Thank you for allowing us to hit the show up and for you guys doing such a fantastic job with the show. I look forward to year 4. Where I could finally actually make a physical presence along with my boy Suave Javi.
Yeah.
He's taking over right there.
Yeah, Orinque.
Next year. Olvídate. So with that, I'm Almega. Suave Javi. Catch the stream. Don't forget to catch his stream. And he has a gem tomorrow. All right. So when this video drops tomorrow, that means that it's actually today, which means that later today, you better watch that stream. All right.
Got it.
I'm editing it tonight. So with that, folks, thank you for listening. I'm Almega, Undercover Capes. Peace.
This is an Undercover Capes production. Thank you for listening. Make sure to visit ComicCrusaders.com, UndercoverCapes.com, GeekreviewMagazine.com, and our newest venture, SplinteredPress.com.